65 in the red, and let's sing Love Lifted Me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore.
Thankful that love lifted me when nothing else could. This morning, as we go to the Lord in prayer, let's continue to remember ones we've been praying for. It's been going through surgeries. We're thankful that Joyce has had her cataract surgery and doing well, so continue to keep her in your prayers. Let's continue to remember the John Brooks family that we made mention of the other night as he passed away. He was in his funeral yesterday, so remember the family, his wife Carol, and daughter Libby there. Let's keep them all in our prayers and pray for them. Let's remember all of our men and women in armed services, wherever they might be. We're glad that Ryan's back from Afghanistan and back here, so we're thankful for that. So just keep him in your prayers and all of our service men and women there. Let's remember all of our kids as they travel back and forth to school and to school activities, that they'd be safe and God would protect them, watch over them. Most of all, let's pray for the lost, that they'll get saved before it's everlasting too late. Any other prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer this morning? So let's remember Susan Hawks. So let's remember her. She'll be maybe having some stents put in. So let's keep this in our prayers. So let's remember this. Remember Teresa's prayers. Pennsylvania. Yeah. Let's remember this. My family, yes, she passed away yesterday as well. Let's remember Pat's mother. Anyone else?
Remember Todd Welburn.
Remember Todd Welburn. Anyone else? By uplifted hand. Anyone that can and will, please come to the altar for prayer. Alan, would you lead us this morning, please? Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Bob, would you ask a blessing on the offering, please? Remember, on Sunday, September 28th, right after church, we will be having our hayride lunch and singing and playing and everything down at the baptizing hole there at Donnie's. So keep this in your prayers. We'll have good weather, and that will be next Sunday right after church. So we look forward to that. Hope everyone can attend. There's also a sign-up sheet, I think, still back on the back table for this event. So if you would, please, if you've not had a chance, if you'd like to bring something, please put it on there so our ladies will know what they need there. So just remember this. We're looking forward to a good time together. So remember this. Also, the first Sunday in October, which I believe is October the 5th, we'll be doing a pounding for Wesley and Megan Weaver here at the church. So if you'd like to get something for them, if you've not had an opportunity, we're going to do a pounding for them for their house. So just remember this. Purchase them some household items, food, whatever that you think that they might be in need of for their household, and they will greatly appreciate that. So remember them also as they start their life together in the Lord. Just bring the food. It won't be a shower type deal. It will just be bring the food for the pounding, and they will take that home with them. So just remember that. Everyone stand your feet. Welcome each other to church. I can't be here that Sunday. I'm kidding. All right, let's start making our way back to our seats, please. All right. We are glad to be back this week. We did have a good time. Last Sunday, I rode a ferry. Last time I said that when we were at the beach 25 years ago on our honeymoon, Sandra wanted to ride that ferry. I said, there ain't no way. I'm getting my truck on there, and I'm not going on there. That thing sinks, and there we'll be. So, but we got on it and rode it, had a very enjoyable time. It was very peaceful, and just to see. And, you know, I told them that I'm usually scared to death if I get in ankle deep that I'm going to drown. But this time, God took that fear away from me. I've had that fear of water all my life, but this time it wasn't there. There was some times I got a little anxious when I looked out and seen the waves that were coming were over my head. But then I thought, in the same instance, they're under his feet. So, you know, God can take away those fears if we surrender them to him. And I just thought it was amazing. I mean, I really didn't get scared when my brother saw the shark. He was closer to it than I was, but I thought I'd have to get him first. But anyway, it's amazing what God can do if we just let him and get out of his way. So this morning, I think Hayden's going to sing for us, so y'all pray for him as he comes.
Well, I get where I'm going on the far side of the sky. First thing that I'm gonna do is spread my wings and fly. I'm gonna land beside a lion and run my fingers through his mane. Or I might find out what it's like to ride a drop of rain. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, there'll be only happy tears. I will shed the sins and struggles I have carried all these years. I'll leave my heart wide open. I will love and have no fear. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, don't cry for me. Match me still. I'll tell him how I've missed him every minute since he left. Then I'll hug his neck, yeah, when I get where I'm going. There'll be only happy tears. I will share the sins and struggles I have carried all these years. And I'll leave my heart wide open. I will love and have no fear. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, don't cry for me down here. So much pain and so much darkness, this world we stumble through. All these questions I can't answer, so much work to do. But when I get where I'm going and I see my Maker's face, I'll stand forever in the light of His amazing grace. Yeah, when I get where I'm
It'd been real trouble if that phone had cut off. He had his words there trying to read them off of that. He's done a good job. Appreciate that. Appreciate the Lord. Appreciate him allowing us to be in his house today and just thanking him for all of his goodness. And it's good to know that we're saved and ready to go, that Jesus has came by our way, talked to our heart, and that we responded and we answered the call and became saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to know that there's more to life than this, that we have a home that we're going to one day, if we're prepared and ready to go. There's many people and there's many places today, it's at a crossroads. I know I mentioned that a few months back or a few weeks back, but we're at a crossroads in America. We're at a crossroads in our Christian service. We're at a crossroads in our church and in our Christian lives as we walk. And it all depends on which intersection that we take and what direction we go in our service to God, whether we are in service to Him or in service to flesh. And we're going to look at a man today that came to a crossroads, and Jesus gave him a commandment. God gave him a commandment here in the Old Testament, in the book of Jonah, chapter 1, where we're going to be in this morning. But we look at Jonah. He was at a crossroads here in his life, and God had instructed him to do something, but he decided to take his own path. And God gives us instructions all through His Word, what's right, what's wrong, what we ought to do, what we ought not to do. And it come to those crossroads in our life, it's our decision which way we go and what we do. If we don't listen to the Word of God and heed His voice and walk in His footsteps, I saw a little cartoon this morning, it was so fitting. We've all heard the story of the footprints, and when there was two sets of footprints, we were walking side by side with Jesus, and then we hear in there that when there was one set of footprints in the hard times, that Jesus was carrying us. And then it had Jesus standing there with this same man and said, "You see those long marks that's drug through the sand? That's when I was dragging you, kicking and screaming." You know, it would be good sometimes if God drug us kicking and screaming to get done what He wants us to do, but He don't make us do that. He doesn't force it on us. He gives us that choice. When we come to that crossroad in our life, what we're going to do. Song was sung here a few weeks back about the old crossroad. Which one are you going to take? One leads to heaven, the other leads to destruction. What crossroad are you going to take this morning? There's been people that have made decisions in this life that have took the wrong road. They have taken lives of people. There's a gentleman that shot those two state troopers there in Pennsylvania. This man that killed his family there and then took his own life. All these things that are happening, people are making decisions. And you say, well, I would never do anything that terrible. Let me tell you, if we're not in service to God and we're sinning against Him, we're committing just as great a sin as murder today if we are not following the Word of God saying we are Christians because we are committing sin in our life. And we choose that crossroad when we get there. Instead of making the straight path that God's got, we'll take the side road every once in a while. And let me tell you, when you get on a side road and you try to get back to the main road, you cannot do it sometimes unless you get back to the place where you left the main road. You can't just take another little cross section here or a shortcut there and get back to where you're going. Now, when we were on vacation, we were headed to Southport from Holden Beach and we were following that GPS. And them things are really good when they know what they're talking about. And we had it punched in on how to get to the ferry site there. We were going to ride, and we was going down the road, and it said, turn here. And so I told them, and my brother wheels the car off this road, and it's sandy, let me tell you, and slick. I've never seen sand so slick, but when you're in a Toyota Camry, it don't go four-wheeling very well. And we hit that sand, and it was a sliding and carrying on. They said, are you sure this is the way to go? I ain't never been here before is what I was thinking. I said, the GPS says there's a paved road right down here, and we're going to get there in just a minute. And eventually we got back to the paved road. But let me tell you, all shortcuts don't bring you back to the paved road. All shortcuts don't bring you back to God where He wants you to be. All shortcuts to do sometimes is lead you astray and lead you off track what God wants you to do. Jonah decided to take another road that God had told him what to do, but Jonah decided he was going to go out on his own. He was going to go his own way. Another example. And it wasn't they would go their own way, but their GPS went out on the way down to the beach. Lost signal because of the storm. Driving along, he finally comes back on. It's took them way out of range from where they should have went and cost them extra time to have to get there. Let me tell you, the same thing happens. We have a storm in our life. We take our eyes off God, and we get on the wrong course. We get on the wrong road, and we go a long ways around to the short area to get where God wanted us to be. The children of Israel, by example, if they had listened to God, would have had a very short trip. But they complained, they murmured, they had disbelief, and they wandered around for 40 years. Don't be wandering around for 40 years lost out there in the world, not knowing what God's got in store for you. Get in the book, and it will show you what road to take. And when the signs are there, you'll know what sign to read and know what God is telling you to do in your life is what God is telling you to do and not what Satan's putting before you. Because Satan will make it appear to be the very best thing you need to do. But unless you rely on God, you won't know that until maybe it's too late. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Plain and simple message here. He told Jonah, he says, go to Nineveh and cry out to them and tell them that their wickedness, their sin, their immoral acts have come before me and I'm displeased with them and you're my messenger and you go tell them what's going on. What happens in America? We have the message, but we've got to where we don't tell anyone because we're afraid we'll hurt someone's feelings. They won't want to hear what we've got to say. Let me tell you, they didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say. He was the Word that came and lived among men, and they rejected Him. They're going to do the same to you, but you just keep on telling them. But we see that Jonah had a message that God had given him to cry against the city. We need to cry out against this immoral world that we're living in. It can't be much longer that God's going to leave us here, and the preacher's been saying that for 2,000 years. And Jesus is coming soon, maybe morning, night, or noon. Let me tell you, He's on the way. One day that trumpet's going to sound, and those that are saved are going to hear it. We're going to rise up and be gone from here, thank God. Not have to mess with this anymore. But listen, there's still a work to do. There's still things that need to be cried out against, and sin is one. And tell people they need to be born again, saved through the blood of Jesus. And no other way. No other way. Jonah was at a crossroad. Are you at a crossroad in your life and your service to God? God's pointing you in a direction, but you're not listening, you're not following, you're not heeding the signs. Friend, don't suffer. Don't go through the chastisement of the Lord, because He loves you. He'll chastise you. And He'll get you back on track. And if you've neglected the chastisement for so long that you've got numb to it, God will allow you to go on your way. He don't throw you away, though. The potter in Jeremiah never threw the clay away when it became marred. He made it into a new vessel. And God's just waiting to put some of the clay back on the wheels that He can use you. Because some vessels are marred this morning with sin. Some have got out of the will of God, not listening to God and what He says. But God said He'd put you back on the wheels and perform a work there and mold you and shape you into the vessel that He needs. But we have to be willing to heed to the hand of the potter. Just as the clay, when it's put on the wheel, has to heed to the hand of the potter as it's spinning on the wheel, so we must heed to the hand of God when He's trying to form us and shape us and mold us. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it and to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you something, friends. There ain't nowhere you can go in this world you're going to flee from the presence of God. I don't care how dark a hole you climb back into, God still sees you. Who you think made the hole? Allowed it to be there. He can see you in the darkest places. He can see you when you think that everything's covered up and hid from everyone. God knows. God knows. God knew exactly. God knew exactly where Jonah was at. He'd made preparation already to get Jonah's attention. Now let me tell you, I wouldn't want to have to go through an experience of Jonah to be cast out into the sea here just a few moments of time, be swallowed up by a great fish, and be there for 3 days with the seaweed covering your head. Oh, preacher, don't say that. It says it in God's Word. Ain't no fish ever been that can swallow a man. God made one. God made one. It's a great fish, and it swallowed Jonah. Swallowed Jonah. Well, I just can't understand, preacher, why the church ain't growing. Preacher, I just can't understand why we don't feel the Spirit of God move sometimes. Preacher, I just can't understand why things are going the way they're going. I can't understand why I'm in the health that I'm in. Friend, maybe if we look in the mirror, we might see the reason why. Do we point the finger at everybody else? It's everybody else's fault. Well, it's the preacher's fault that the church ain't growing. It's the preacher's fault we don't feel the Spirit move. It's the preacher's fault that we don't get nothing out of singing anymore. Boy, the preacher must be busy. He can get blamed for everything. But when it boils down to it, we need to look at self. And I do that. I try to do that every day. That we may grow. That I'm be in the right place with God. That I can be the leader I need to be. And when I see things that's wrong in my life, I try to get them straightened out between me and God and do the right things. Because like I said, I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven. God's still working on me every day. See, He completed His creation there in 7 days. But He's continually working on me to make me better and make me stronger. Verse 5, it says, then the mariners were afraid. Go back to verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ships were like to be broken. We go through storms in life because sometimes we've got on the ship to Tarshish, and we've left from where we should have been and going in the opposite direction. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares of the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. I think many of us that's endeavoring in sins and endeavoring in things that's just not quite right with God, we have got to the point where we have laid down and we have went fast asleep on the Word of God and His chastising on our life. We have got numb to the fact of the things that we are doing because we tell ourselves we are right to the point we don't realize what's wrong. We get hardened off to the fact. It's just like playing the guitar, and you start playing them strings, you get them places that hurt so bad you can't hardly stand to touch the end of your fingers. But the more you do it, the more callous they get, the more numb they are, and you don't feel it. That's the same way it is in playing in sin. We do it long enough, we become of none effect of hearing the Word preached because it don't touch our heart. We've got calloused and we won't listen. Jonah was in the bottom of the ship fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, come call upon thy God." Now if you'll notice, in the verse where the mariners were calling on their God, it was a little G-O-D. Why? Because they didn't have no power. They didn't know the God that Jonah had talked with. They didn't know the God that had told Jonah to go to Nineveh. They were talking to gods of none effect. But the captain, the shipmaster, told Jonah, says, "Talk and call on thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." We're in a sinking ship in America. Many don't want to hear it. Everything's getting better, they say. Spiritually, we're in a sinking ship. If you look at some of the movies and things that's out there, even when they make a movie about the Bible, it's not biblical. They put their little spin on it. Well, it could have happened this way. Yeah, and I could have wings and fly, but I don't. There's things that are right and things that are wrong, and if you're going to make a movie about the Bible, it better be biblical and not what you think it ought to have been like. Because last time I checked, none of us has God as our name. But see if he will heed and will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, "Every one of his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots and the lot fell upon Jonah. Now I can't tell you what's going on in your life. That's not my business. It's God's business. But if there's things in your life that hinder this church, that's an important business for the church. If your witness out here is impeded or is it of no practical use whatsoever because of the life you live before other men in this world, you hurt the witness of this church. You hurt the witness of God. And God's not pleased. But there's so many places today that are playing church. Well, let's look like a church. Let's act like a church. Let's sing like a church, but let's don't live like a church. Let's don't live like God's bride. Now you put it in that aspect of what the church ought to be, the bride of Christ puts a whole new feeling on it. There's a lot of people say they're Christians, but they don't know Christ. Not as their Savior. Let us cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?" They were inquiring minds here. We might call them, they wanted to know what was going on. They wanted to know why Jonah had brought this evil upon them. It's like whenever they asked the prophet, "Are you the one that troublest Israel?" No, he was the one that came to give the message. Their sins brought the trouble. And he said to them, "I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. They had enough sense to know themselves to be afraid of the situation they was in because this man was running from what God wanted him to do. When we come to the point that we realize that it's important that we heed God's word and not run from Him in the job that He has appointed us to do, whether it's praising Him, whether it's singing a song, or whatever it might be, just raising a hand and say, "Thank you, God, for saving me," or speaking up and giving someone just a testimony that you're saved and you thank God for saving you. Whatever it is that God's appointed us to do, it's important that we do it. And not run from the presence of the Lord, because you will not find a hiding place. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." Today it's still the same way. Sin is raging, the waves are high, people are being Their ships are being sunk, marriage after marriage. Instead of becoming a fellowship, becomes a battleship, and it sinks because there's a division in the family, and the family's broken up, and we see all the hurt and the heartache that's there, and the children suffer because of these things. We see churches splitting all the time because of differences of opinion on the color of the carpet, and whether the preacher ought to preach for 5 minutes, 15 minutes, or 30 minutes, whatever it might be, or how long they ought to be in church. That they have fallen out and division and separation of churches. And well, we don't like it there. We'll go start our own. Let me tell you, what we need to do is fill up the churches that are churches of God and quit going out on a whim every once in a while and say we're just going to start one we like, where everybody's going to think the way we think. That ain't going to happen very long. Because as long as you've got man involved, there's going to be differences. What we need to do is get back to the Word. Get back to the Word and be called true Christian. Be called God's bride. Been adopted through the blood of His Son. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech Thee, O Lord, we beseech Thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For Thou, O Lord, hast done it as it pleased Thee." As it pleased Thee. Now let me ask you something. How many people do you think it's going to take living immoral in a church to cause that church to suffer? One, two, three. God said He was going to save a city if they could find 10 righteous people. They only found one. Guess what? It only takes one to affect the witness of a church. That's right. One person out of the will of God, living ungodly in the world, and attending a church every Sunday can do more damage than a hypocrite or a sinner could ever do. Because you can't say that you're one thing and live something else. God sees it. And so do the people. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Wait a minute, I want to back up and get verse 13 right quick. It says, "Nevertheless the men rode," because they knew it was. They knew why the great tempest was upon them now. And verse 13 says, "Nevertheless men rode hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them." It doesn't matter what you try to do on your own to bring in the ship and get it settled and get it settled upon the way that it needs to go. If it's against God's will, you're not going to settle that ship in that storm. We have to get into the will of God before there's going to be peace and calm waters. But they knew who it was, and He told them what they must do. And they cried unto the Lord because they didn't want to cast Him over into the ocean. But this is what Jonah told them that they must do. So they took Jonah and they cast him in forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. I think there was a revival on that boat when they threw the preacher over. I'm not going to recommend that today. But he was out of the will of God. When that happens, they need to go. When they're not following the will of God, not following His word. Jonah had to go off the ship because that wasn't where he was supposed to be. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow him up. Swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Preacher, do you believe that? Yes, I do. God said it. That settled it. And I believe it just like it said it. It says, then in Jonah prayed in chapter 2 unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. You know, sometimes we got to get down in the belly of the fish before we look up. Why is that? We all have enough sense to know we shouldn't have to get knocked down before we look up to God. But we'll do it every time. Things get to going well and we forget about Him. God doesn't forget about us. And He said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me out of the belly of hell cry. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and Thou heardest my voice. Have you ever been to that point? Have you ever got down to the point you felt like you was in the belly of hell? And you cried out to God and He heard you. And there was a difference that came. There was a difference that entered into your life. There was a peace that was there. I felt that peace. You may say, well, being afraid of water, that was a great fear for me. And God took that away. And I felt His peace. I felt His peace. Though the waves were over my head, they were still under His feet. I felt His peace. We can feel His peace when we're in the right place with God. He heardest my voice, for Thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compass me about. All Thy billows and Thy waves pass over me. Can you imagine what He must have been going through? I can't imagine what it must have been like to have been in the belly of that fish. Darkness. I don't like the dark either. I like being in the light. I like being in the light and the Son of God. But He was in the darkness. He was truly felt like He was in the belly of hell. And the waves and the billows, they passed over. Then I said, I am cast out of Thy sight, yet I will look again toward Thy holy temple. He realized where he messed up. He said, I repent, Lord. I want to repent and turn from this, and I'm going to look back to Your holy temple. It's not Your fault I'm where I'm at. It's my fault that I'm here. But God, I remember You, and I'm going to look back to Your holy temple. I'm going to look back to You for the direction and guidance that I need. The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. Now, when we went on our honeymoon 25 years ago, almost 25 years ago, we were walking by the seaside, and when I was thinking about the seaweed, and Sandra, she was walking closer to the water than I was because I wasn't going to get in it. And the tide come in, and here come a clump of seaweed wrapped around her foot. Oh, and she kicked that foot, get that off of there, and there went her flip-flop right out in the water. She says, run out there and get it. I said, kick the other one off, there'll be two of them in there. It was going to stay, but the next wave came back with it and brought it back into her. But sometimes when we get wrapped up in the weeds of Satan, they're harder to cast off. It'll pull us down, it'll take us down to a place we didn't ever think it we could get to. But when we get entangled in sin, it'll take us down further than we ever thought that we would go. And it will pull us down. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast Thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto Thee in Thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto Thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pray that I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not in the preacher's capacity to hold your salvation. It's not in the deacon's board capacity to hold your salvation. It's not in your mom, your dad, your grandma, your grandpa. It's not in your wife or your husband. But it is unto the Lord, His salvation, that seals you to the day of redemption. Thank God made me fireproof. Made me watertight. Thank God I'm going to make a flight one day. I ain't going to need no airplane, no spaceship, nothing. Thank God I'm going to heaven. I don't know about you. Can't say for sure you are. But that's not because that I don't believe by your testimony. Only you and God know if you're saved. Only you and God know if everything's right and you're prepared. And your salvation has been settled through the blood of Jesus. I can tell you, I know what God done for me. September the 18th. Just past this past week, I'm 28 years old in God. And I thank Him for that. And He's loved me every day. He loved me before I was saved. But He's wrapped His arms around me now because I'm in Him and He's in me. And we walk closer. And I don't want to leave tracks where He's dragging me. I want us to be able to walk side by side Him when I need it for Him to carry me. But I will sacrifice unto Thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. He may have took the wrong turn. He may have went about getting to Nineveh the long way around. But when he got back on track for God, he didn't waste no time. After this fish spits him out on the ground, He takes and makes that 3-day journey in just a short amount of time, and he hits the city preaching that they need to repent of their evil ways. It got all the way to the king, and the king removes his clothes, puts on sackcloth and ashes, and refuses to eat, and commands that not even the animals in Nineveh be fed until the sun goes down and the prayers are heard and people repent. Where does it need to start, preacher? It needs to start in each one's home. But it sure makes a great effect if it'll start at the top. And people get back in touch with God. We need a little weeping. We need a little mourning. We need a little bit more of people listening to God. Instead of getting so intellectually superior that they forget that there is a supreme God who made them, who created them, who loves them, gave them a soul, and sent His Son to die that they may live. Thank God I made preparation to live. Jonah may have thought his life was over, but he knew when he was there to call upon the one that could deliver. Friend, God is saying, repent. Call on me. Heed my voice. There's a crossroads that you're standing at. And I believe that today, I'm burdened heavy with that, that there's a crossroads that we're at, even in this church, on following God in our growth and becoming stronger in the Lord. We're standing at a crossroads. Which way are we going to go? What road are we going to choose? I'm not going down to Tarshish. I'm going to continue on and cry out against sin. Sometimes the burden's heavy, but I got one that can carry the burden. I've got a Savior who can. Friend, if you're saved, you got a Savior who can. If you feel that you've been tossed out of the ship, that you're in the belly of hell this morning, and you need to cry out to God, there's no better time to do it than now. Friend, if you're not saved, there is a place called hell that is real, that is hot beyond any heat you have ever felt. We've had some hot days this summer, but it's nothing compared to what hell's going to be. The fire's never quenched. There's no relief in sight. There's no balm for your soreness. There's no water to part for your parched tongue. In darkness, with a heat that's great and a pain that's going to last forever, that is the second death. And I thank God that I died out to sin because of the blood of Jesus. Thank God He saved me. He set me free. And when times when I take the wrong path, He's there to set me back on the right and straight path that He's got intended for me. Jonah took the long way around to get to Nineveh, but his preaching was of great effect. The whole city repented, and God repented of the destruction that He told them was coming for that city because they repented and turned to God. Then in chapter 4, we see Jonah had a little pity party because they all repented. They all repented. Heard the word. Instead of sitting there being sorrowful for the gourd to come up and give him shade, he ought to have been rejoicing that this city heard God and repented of their sin. We need to be rejoicing. Let me tell you, if a church down the road as 20 get saved, we shouldn't feel that we've been left out. As brothers and sisters, we're going to see in heaven that we might not have seen. Not to be jealous of one another. We're all doing the same work. We're trying to let the Word of God be known to the lost and dying world. Someone gets saved that you've been witnessing to, but they get saved somewhere else. Don't sit around with a long face or your tongue pooched out. Rejoice and be glad. Jesus brought them in. This morning, as I get a song of invitation ready, are you a Jonah? Are you taking the long way around? Is God speaking to your heart? Is there a work that you need to do or a work that you've done that maybe you need to surrender and let someone else take over? I don't know what the need is this morning. God does. You know in your heart what God's been dealing with you over to do. There's a crossroads. Which one are you going to choose? Your way or God's way? Friend, if you're lost this morning, there's a crossroads you're at. One road leads to heaven, one road leads to hell. Which one are you going to choose today? If God's dealing with your heart and you're rejecting Him, you're choosing hell today. Plain and simple. No use to hold back any punches. That's the way that it is. Can't sugarcoat it to make it an easier pill to swallow. Hell's real, just as heaven is. Jesus loves you this morning. You're at a crossroads. Which one will you take? Jesus is standing beckoning. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. And Satan's standing and laughing, just hoping you choose his way. Which one will it be? As we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. No one looking. Are you here lost this morning? Do you know Him in the free pardon of sin? As Jesus came in and made a difference in your life? If you can't answer that, would you please come? Come to the altar. Surrender it to Jesus this morning. Ask Him to come in and save you before it's everlasting too late. Jonah realized that he had to call upon God. Friend, if you're lost, you need to call upon God. Will you come? Christian, maybe there's something you want to bring. Maybe you want to pray for somebody, pray with somebody. Come. Come and pray. Maybe somebody's laid on your heart to say a prayer for this morning. Come, pray. Bring them to Jesus. Don't be ashamed. He said if we was ashamed before men of Him, that He'd be ashamed of us before His Father. I'm not ashamed of my Lord and Savior. Do you have a need this morning? Do you have a burden? Are you broken and need the balm of God? Will you come? Will you come? Just as I am. That's the way God wants you. Don't let Satan tell you, oh, you've got to quit this, you've got to quit that, before God can save you. Friend, you come to God just as you are, and God will make the difference. God will remove that addiction that may be in your life. God will remove that sin that's in your life if you surrender it to Him. Surrender it to Him. Believe Him. Trust Him. Have faith. Have faith. Will you come? Just going to extend this for another moment. Might be someone else that would like to come to the altar. God's dealing with your heart. Please come. I'm not going to talk about you. I'm going to pray with you. Pray for you. God's going to do the blessing. May be seated where you are. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before Your throne of grace and mercy today, we thank You. Dear Heavenly Father, that You give us such powerful examples to look at in Your Word, dear God, of disobedience and obedience. Dear God, when we decide to go our own path in our own way and we see struggles and trials come before us, dear Heavenly Father, and we get to the point that we're in the belly of hell, that we can look up and cry unto the Lord. And He'll hear us. And He'll restore us. And He'll bring us back up. That we can perform that work that He's got for our life to do. And God, we thank You and we praise You. Lord, I pray for those here that might be lost this morning. God, that You'd reach down, touch their heart, and save them before it's everlasting too late. For these that have come and bowed in Your altar, dear God, for the tears that's being shed, for the hearts, dear God, that's been poured out to You, for the broken spirit, Lord, before You. God, that You may restore and lift up, dear Heavenly Father, strengthen, dear Heavenly Father, as only You can do. And we thank You that when You provide the healing, the touch from God, the strength, dear Heavenly Father, that we can see the crossroads and we know which road to take. And dear God, we thank You for giving us the road signs and, dear God, the map of life. in your precious holy book. Dear God, we ask that you would go with us and lead us and guide us. Dear God, that as we face crossroads as a church, as a people, Lord, we'd make the right choices. That we would go in the right direction for you. God, may you always point out and may we always follow. Go with us now. Bless each one, dear God, in a special way this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I met a man in New York City. Been in jail 74 times. He was on probation for 39 years. He drank his first beer at 6 years of age. He was locked up the first time at 10 years old for breaking in a home, a building, a structure. I don't remember exactly. 13 years of age, he was doing drugs. He became one of the largest drug dealers in the state of Georgia. He had a friend or someone who befriended him who happened to be a Gideon, but more importantly, he had a burden for lost souls, and he visited him throughout the years in prison, in and out of jail. Over 24 years, this man, Brother Charlie Waters was his name, he said, that came and visited him. And the day he gave his life to Christ, he saw him in jail, in prison, or in jail, I think it was. And he's on probation, and he got locked up because he had failed a drug test, took a urine test, and failed. And he asked him, whose fault is it? And he said, well, there were 7 of my friends ratted me out. He said, it's up to them. They're the ones that done it. And he said, well, I got a question for you. He said, if you'd have took that test and you'd have passed it, whose fault would that have been? If there had been nothing in your blood, who would have been responsible for it? He said, well, me. And he said, well, you didn't pass it. He said, so whose fault is it? And he said, for the first time that day, he had to point the finger at himself. He finally had to come to himself. And that brother gave him his own Bible. He asked him, he said, do you have a Bible? And he said, no, I don't. He handed him his own Bible. And he said, take this and read in John and find out who your real friend is. And that day he gave his life to Christ. At one point through all of that, before that, he was standing on the lawn in the yard of his parents' home. And they told him, his father told him, when I come back out here, you better be gone. He said, I'd rather see you dead than to see you in that shape. After he gave his life to Christ, he later led his parents both to Christ and baptized them, and he's an evangelist today. And there's a lot more to the story, but I just wanted to share that with you. That's just one small bit that I get out of New York City. I never had a desire to ever go visit New York City whatsoever until this came up, and I still didn't, and I had a lot of reservations, but I've been twice now, and it's beyond belief of the blessings that I have witnessed up there. I just got word this morning we passed out, or there was a total of 200 and almost 40,000 Bibles and New Testaments that were passed out in many different languages up there this past week. And I just want to thank you all for your support to the Gideon Ministry and allowing us to be able to do that. And I do want you to know that everybody traveled there, 200 and almost 80 participated at their own dime. So every bit y'all give goes to those to put that word in somebody's hand, like Pat Teller. I just wanted to share that.
Appreciate that, Brother Mark. Anybody else a word testimony this morning? Do remember next Sunday, September 28th, will be our picnic right after church. We're looking forward to a good time of fellowship there. So remember this. Please sign up for food if you've not had a chance to do so. Also, just a little clarification, the pounding you've got from now until October 5th, which is the first Sunday in October, for the pounding for Wesley and Megan, and they'll be coming to pick up the stuff. There won't be an official shower after church or anything. They'll just be coming to get their stuff that day that we bring to them. So if you'd like to help them out with things for their household, please feel free to do so. We'll keep it here until they're able to come pick it up first Sunday in October. So just drop them a little card of reminder that you're thinking about.